That are going on in our body at the moment. I guess it's not surprising the message that I have for today, which I had prepared before. We heard about Frederick and Guy. And it's amazing that God just knows everything. I want to talk about the tests of faith from the book of James this morning. And before I get to that, I think it would be helpful if I just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 so that we get an understanding, a little more clarity, each time a little more clarity. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it starts in verse 9, says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the mind of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Even so, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." And it goes on to say here, where am I here? That the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and he interprets it, he reveals it, and he communicates spiritual truths to spiritual people. And that helps for what we're going to look at today in James chapter 1. That it is a passage that on first reading is difficult to grasp, where it says, "My brethren," verse 2, "count it all joy when you fall into various trials." That just seems contradictory. It's like saying thank you for the beating. So what is God? He's wanting to communicate something to us. And that's where we go back to 1 Corinthians and look at it and see that there's something in here that is beyond what we're our initial reading that God's trying to communicate. Why on earth would he say to us to count it all joy when you fall into various trials? The Phillips New Testament translation says, I'm going to read here verses 2 to 8. "When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until the endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. And if in the process any of you does not know how to meet a particular problem, he has only to ask God, who gives generously to all men and without making them feel foolish or guilty. And he may be quite sure that the necessary wisdom will be given him. But he must ask in sincere faith and without secret doubts as to whether he really wants God's help or not. The man who trusts God, but with inward reservations, is like a wave of the sea carried forth by the wind one moment, driven back by the next. That sort of man cannot hope to receive anything from God, and the life of a man of divided loyalty will reveal instability at every turn." So what is God saying really to us here? To count it all joy when you run into trials. Holy Spirit, help us to grasp what you're trying to say to us today. That we would understand. That we would be able to grasp in our inner being the secret truths that are manifested in the Word of God. That's why a number of weeks ago I said that the Word of God, Jesus said in John 6, His words are spirit and they're life. They're spiritual words. And in order to really comprehend them and understand, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 4, it says, the Word is living, it's alive, and it's powerful. In Isaiah 55, it says, the Word would not return void. It shall accomplish and it shall prosper. These are the things that, when we read them, we need help to really make them a part of us. God uses trials for our profit and for His purposes. There are particularly two things that God intends when we go through trials. Please understand that God does not bring every trial. He doesn't have to. They seem to show up all by themselves. It's important to realize that. God does not bring every trial. In the Old Testament, they believed that everything that happened was God's will. But that's not true. The two things that God intends, at least these two, is an enlargement and an enlightenment. And we're going to learn what that means. That when you go through trials, God wants to increase your capacity for victory. When you go through the trial, God has a specific design and purpose in mind to help us. That even though He may not have caused the trial, we may have done that on our own, maybe someone else, it may be the devil. Trials come. But in every trial, God never loses His sovereignty over that trial, and He never loses the purpose that He has in bringing us through it. With God, there are no accidents. Every trial that you and I face, God has in mind an enlargement in your life, an increase in our ability to love, expanding that, a greater understanding of God's grace and His mercy, the trials to produce wisdom. It's in James it says, count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance or patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Trial is to bring us to a place of greater maturity in our understanding of God and His Word. And now, I went through I was amazed, actually. I've got 5 pages of scripture, which I won't go through here in detail, but they talk about how, well, I'll read you a couple. 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace, who's called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but with every temptation makes a way of escape. 1 Peter 1:6, in this you rejoice, so now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome. And then it goes on and on here. I've got, as I said, I've got pages of them where he talks about how in this life there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be tribulation, there's going to be problems that you and I have to face. That's the way it is in this world. But when we are facing something that you think you can't handle, it's to know that God is there, right there with us, and will carry us through any difficult time. He won't leave us, but invites us to cast our cares upon Him. In James chapter 1 here, in verse 4, it says that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Well, verse 5 tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, what do I do in this? Let him ask God. Let him ask God. And it's interesting, I looked up the word ask there in the Greek, and there's two words. The first one is eroteo, and that's asking where you're not sure what the outcome will be. Maybe yes, maybe no. It's uncertain, but that's not the word that's used here. The word, the Greek word that is used here is aiteo, A-I-T-E-O. And it means to ask for something that is to be given. The difference being that in this case, in this word, you know before you ask that the answer will be yes. That there will be an answer. There's a confidence that in asking, you know that the answer is going to be yes. You're not asking, wondering, will God answer this or will He not? But you know that He will. That's what it's saying here. That let him ask in such a way that he expects the answer to be given. He invites us to ask, but to ask with a confidence, knowing that, yes, as soon as you ask me, I'm going to tell you. So it's not a sense of, oh God, please, 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 please help, please, please. But it's a sense of, thank God, I know He's going to respond to this. He's telling me to ask Him, but He wants to give it to me. He's already made that decision. In the words that He's used, He's already communicated, I want to give you what you are lacking. Now this wisdom, it says, let him ask for wisdom. It isn't just knowledge. It's not just knowledge. This wisdom holds the possession of the knowledge and the ability to make right decisions. The wisdom of God brings these two things together. That's where the enlightenment comes. When God gives wisdom, He gives the possession of the knowledge. Now, when you think about this, because in the context of count it all joy when you fall into various trials, God's not saying, I want you to rejoice over being miserable. What He is saying is He's tying it into wisdom that you can rejoice when you encounter these trials because you have an all-wise God. All-wise God. And that through this trial that you're facing, God is expecting you to ask for His help, knowing that His response is already yes and amen. That He's just waiting to give us something. Give us what? Give us what? Well, to give us the knowledge that what you need for that moment, the knowledge of what you need for that moment, plus the ability to make a right decision in it, and the power to carry it forth. See, that brings a whole new light to the trial. We're not on our own. We're not facing things that, what am I going to do? God is not abandoning us, waiting to see whether we make it or not. He's asking us and saying to us, you can ask for my help. Ask for my help. Ask. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Who gives to God, who gives to all, rather, he gives to all liberally and without reproach. God is anxious to give us what we need, the knowledge we need, the ability to make the right decision in that knowledge, and the power to see it through. But that's all done through relationship, because we are in a covenant with God. We're in a covenant with God. Jesus died for you and me, for our sins. And he made available to us all that he has. We've exchanged with him. You see, you give God all your strengths and all your weaknesses, and he gives you his. Except that God doesn't have any weaknesses. So he just gives us his strength. He makes it available. We give him our finances, including our debts. And he gives us his. But again, God doesn't have any debts. But he makes his finances available to us through the covenant. Because we have a covenant with God. Because of what he's done and made available to us. But our finances, our strengths, our will must be surrendered to God first. Then he gives us his. See, if we don't surrender to him, then we're on our own. And that's not a place that we want to be. We need God's grace. We need his power. We need the intimate wisdom that God has for the circumstances that we face in life. We need the insights that the Holy Spirit has. The Bible talks about the secret truths, the mysteries. That's why in reading the Word of God, we can't just read it with our intellect. We have got to read this Word with the help of the Holy Spirit. Because in doing that, the Holy Spirit unfolds the Word. He unfolds it. He explains it to us. He brings us to a place of understanding specifically what God is saying. So why can we rejoice in the trials? Because we have an all-wise God that no matter what the trial is, no matter what the circumstances may be, we have a God who's just waiting for us to ask so that he can release into us his knowledge, his wisdom, and his ability and power to see it through. Wisdom, knowledge, and the ability to make the right decisions. Boy, how that would change our lives. That's what God's offering to us in here. See, in the intimacy of the relationship, as we share our lives with him, he shares his life and his abilities, his wisdom, his knowledge. All that he is made available to us. And that changes the trial. It changes the circumstances that we're facing, no matter what those circumstances may be. It's understanding that God is always faithful, always. God cannot lie. And he always stands behind his word. He's always waiting to perform his word. But he's waiting for you and I to come to him and ask. He's waiting for us to surrender our lives to him so that he can pour his life into us. Far too often we try to do these things on our own. And it usually doesn't work out very well. In James chapter 1 here, verse 4, it says that that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Mature and complete, lacking nothing. That's the goal in coming through the trial. The idea is that every grace in Christ that is manifested in Christ is to be in you and I, the believer. Everything that is in Christ is to be in you and I. Now let me read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. This is what he's offering to you, to us. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You see what he's offering us? It's not limited. It's basically an unlimited carte blanche, as they say. All grace. All grace. That's everything. There's not a bit left. Abound towards you that you always having, not sometimes, but always having all sufficiency in all things. That's kind of remarkable, isn't it? That's what he's offering. It's hard to even comprehend what that means. In fact, I don't think we can with our intellect. It's like, this is one of those verses that you got to sit down with God and say, please help me to understand this. Help me to grasp this. Help me to begin to comprehend what this verse actually means. It's like having a billionaire saying to you, oh yeah, you owe some money, all right, I'll make $8 billion available to you. Like, it's overwhelming. Absolutely overwhelming. But God is far beyond any billionaire. He's saying to us, I am going to make available to you every possible thing that you could ever need. In every circumstance, no matter what. That's what he's making available to us. But if we don't understand that, if we don't grasp what that really means, and I don't think we can just by reading it. I know I tell you right now, I don't have a full understanding of that verse. I don't. I know a little bit more about it than I did years ago, but it's so overwhelming. It's like the one here in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Exceedingly abundantly. That's like way over the top. Way over the top. That's what he's offering. That's what he's offering. That we would have an abundance for every circumstance. Every circumstance. Whether it's financial or otherwise. That's what he's offering to us. But in order to be able to even begin to act on that, we have to have an understanding. We have to have an understanding. And that only comes out of relationship. Only through relationship can I begin to understand what God is offering. It's amazing. And that's why God says to us, consider it all joy when you face a trial. Because I am going to soak you with my power. I'm going to soak you with my wisdom. I'm going to soak you with supernatural knowledge. I'm going to give you so much that you're not just going to be able to meet this trial, but that you're going to have complete victory over it. That's what he's saying. Now we need to act in that knowledge. We need to receive the knowledge and the wisdom. We need to believe that it's true. And then it begins to work in us. It begins to work in us. In fact, that's what Ephesians 3 says. According to the power that works in us. If I believe that, if I believe what we've just been reading, there's nothing that I can't face in God. Nothing. And have victory in. And have victory in. Because we tie it in with the Word of God. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health. Is that it? Ah. What's it tied to? It's tied to your soul. See, if your soul is not doing well, you're not going to do well in the rest. But in our relationship with God, it's understanding God is so full of wisdom that he invites you and I to come and ask him. Knowing in advance you're going to get it. Knowing that he's going to give it. So you're asking him, knowing already in advance what the response will be, that he's going to give you an abundance of wisdom. Not just, you know, not just enough to get you through this morning, but an abundance of wisdom. He's going to give you the knowledge to how to handle the difficulty. And he's going to give you the ability to go through it and come to a place of victory. That's pretty remarkable. But see, here's where patience comes in. Let's go back to James here. Because God doesn't give it all at once. Sometimes it's step by step. In fact, it's often step by step. And why is that? Because God's purpose is not simply to get you and I through the trial. It's to enlarge and enlighten us at the same time. See, if you come through this trial enlarged and enlightened, what's that going to do for you the next time you're at a trial? What's it going to do? Amen, brothers. That's exactly right. When David faced Goliath, what did he say? Because killed the bear, killed the lion. You're next. Without that, without the bear and the lion, he had nothing to refer to. That's the purpose of being able to do that, you see. Lamentations, I believe it's 3:21 says, "This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope." And goes on to talk about what God's done. What God's done. So you're at the beginning of a difficulty or a trial, and you don't know what to do, and God says, "Just ask me. Just ask me. But ask me in faith, knowing that I am going to respond to you. I'm going to respond to you. You're not on your own. It's an ironclad agreement from God. That's what he's offering. But you must believe that you will receive. You must believe. You ask knowing you're going to receive from God. I know before I ask that God wants to give me an abundance. How do I know that? Because I read it. And his word doesn't lie. The trials are for our profit and for God's purposes and bring us to a place of maturity. God wants you and I to progress. He wants us to grow. We progress through the the testing of our faith, the struggles that we go through. But the purpose of them is to bring us to a place of victory. Victory. The idea is that each trial brings us to higher ground in God, to a greater place of wisdom, to an increase in faith. You understand what I'm saying? When we face the trial when you had the stroke and God healed you, the next time when we are facing another cancer scare in the hospital, I drew from that. If God would heal here, He'll heal here. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the trials, that, you know, none of us have to pray for them. You know what I mean? You don't have to ask God. They come. And they come in various and different ways. Some are harder than others. But we're never on our own. We're never on our own. And if I can know and trust and believe that God is right there with me, waiting to give me wisdom, waiting to give me ability, waiting to give me strength, waiting to give me knowledge and insight, that I'm in a place of victory before I even go through the trial. You know? It's like when you're facing a battle of some kind and you're standing there, Bruce, and there's two guys waiting to beat you up, and all of a sudden Helmut comes and stands beside you. For those who don't know, Helmut was 6'10" and 300 and some odd pounds. The whole situation changed instantly. Instantly. They weren't so eager to fight then. Imagine what God will do. Imagine what God can do in you, through you. God knows everything. That doesn't mean we won't have trouble. In this world, you will have tribulation. I'm sorry. I wish it wasn't there, personally. But it is a reality. You will have tribulation. All of us will. But we have a God who will help us, who has already declared Himself that He won't just give us a little bit of what we need, but He'll open the heavens for us. He'll open the heavens. That's why it's so important that we know the scriptures, you know, that the Lord is gracious, gracious, and full of compassion. I need to know that. When I face the trial, I need to know that. I need to know that. I need to know that He's the Lord who heals me. I need to know that. I need to know what God says He'll do. I need to know that. And you do too. So that when you are facing these things, and it's trusting the Holy Spirit to explain to us. He'll explain to us. As He's, even in this morning in this, that what the trial is for, what God is offering in the trial, how He'll bring us through a place. The trials are not there to defeat us. They're there to strengthen us, to build our faith to a stronger level. But we can't do that without God. We can't do that without the Holy Spirit's wisdom. And we can't do that without a relationship of intimacy with God. We need that. But if you know God loves you and He's on your side from the get-go, it's a whole different world. It's a whole different world. Amen? Amen. Lord, help us to understand the things that You're doing in us and what You want to do in us. There's so many things in Your Word, Lord, that without Your help, we're never going to get it. But we have the help of the Holy Spirit. So I ask You, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to understand. Help us to persevere. Strengthen us, O Lord, in our inner being. Give us the wisdom, O God, that we need for the circumstances of life that we face. We ask for divine insights and understanding. And we bless you, Jesus. Amen.